Hello, everybody. This is Jeff J. Brown, Chandraj Radio, Sign of Land. I'm here today to talk about the China's 20th Party Congress, which it started this week and is ending this week. The West likes to portray it as some sort of monolithic rubber stamp, robots who are just being told what to do. Xi Jinping is the El Supremo, the almighty dictator who tells everybody what to do and what to say, and everybody just marches in lockstep. Everything is decided by a small cabal of evil leaders at the top. That is the propaganda that the big lie propaganda machine, the West big lie propaganda machine, wants to present to you, that that communism and socialism in China is totalitarian, Orwellian, something to be feared and avoided. This is what really happens. This goes back to the times of Stalin and Russia, where they started doing 5-year plans. And instead of, like in the West, leaving society and the people and development and progress and the economy up to a bunch of a trillionaire dictators, the 1% banksters, and the rich and the powerful, these 5-year plans actually set out quantifiable, benchmarked, accountable goals for infrastructure, social services, education, and on and on, military, everything. They started in 1949 when the Communist Party of China took over here in China. And every 5 years, there has been a couple of them where they didn't do it for a couple of them, but they meet between each 5-year Congress. They meet approximately every 6 months. Usually there's 6, 7, 8 plenary sessions where the 2,400 Congress people in the National People's Congress, the 300 members of China's State Council, then the 25 in the Politburo, and then the 7 to 9 in the Politburo Standing Committee. These groups are meeting constantly and planning out, again, airports, roads, high-speed trains, telecommunications, education, banking laws, privacy laws, airport, everything that you can think of, economic objectives, consumer objectives. It just goes on and on and on, and it's all about serving the people, which is unfortunately not the case in the West, and hasn't been the case for 3,000 years since ancient Greece. This motto that Mao Zedong had, serve the people, actually goes back. It's all in Chinese ancient writings. Serve the people has been a part of, written in China's leadership documents, serve the people, back to the Tang Dynasty, at least that far back, 600 to 900 AD. And it even goes further back to that. The people come first, the emperor and the leadership around the emperor come second. This is a lot to do with the fact that in China, governance is based on ethics, which is the golden rule. Don't do unto others what you don't want done unto you. And in the West, it is based on morals. And unfortunately, my morals are superior to your morals, and so you need to adopt my morals. And that's a huge difference between the two systems. So they, when people see those 2,400 members of the National People's Congress and the people behind the diocese and everything, and they're all, it's incredibly well, it is orchestrated. Of course it's orchestrated. They've been working on this for 5 years. All the decisions are already made. They have been planning and checking. And since Deng Xiaoping in the 1980s, they actually are doing rolling five-year plans where they're checking, oh, this isn't working, we need to adjust here. They're looking to the next fight. It is now literally a 10-year rolling plan to provide prosperity, economic prosperity for the 99%, social stability for everybody, and a better and more harmonious, a better quality of life for everybody. Then, not only that, is there the legislative side with the National People's Congress, which just met this week. There is the Chinese People's Political Consultative Conference, and this is the executive side of the governance. This includes the China's union members. It includes women's groups, professional groups like lawyers and doctors. It has, you know, Youth Federation, Industry and Commerce, China Association of Science and Technology, Taiwan, Macau, and Hong Kong are all represented. The people don't even know this. China has eight opposition parties to the Communist Party, who are in the National People's Conference, National People's Congress, and they are there to keep the Communist Party honest and accountable. You can't say that in the United States, where there's only two parties, and they're basically Party A and Party B of the same party for the imperial capitalist capitalism. So these people are meeting, and they have plenary sessions, and they just had their final session this last March. Again, about every 6 months. Now we're into October. They are constantly sending information back and forth between the People's Political Consultative Conference, the National People's Conference. National People's Congress, I'm sorry. And again, this all feeds up to the State Council, the 300 in the State Council, the 25 in the Politburo, and the 7 to 9 in the Politburo Standing Committee, which is where Xi Jinping and Li Keqiang, the premier, are. So this is a well-oiled, well-organized, extremely accountable system that puts the people first. Why have Chinese had their incomes double every 10 years? Every 10 years, can you imagine that? Every 10 years, the Chinese people's income has doubled. For us Westerners out there, they haven't gone up one whit since about 1975. And all you have to do is just look at the 30,000 kilometers of high-speed trains. In the last five-year plan, they built something like 50 airports, ports, sending people into space, planning for missions to Mars and to the moon, social security, universal health care for everybody, retirement is there for everybody. The people are the focus of the government of China. And so what you're seeing these last few days is simply a summation of what they have been working on for five long years. And in fact, they just had their seventh plenary session for the National People's Congress. Just the consultative conference. The last one was in March, and then the legislative one, the National People's Conference, was just ended recently. Get a load of this. When they do these, they actually reach out to the citizens of China and ask them their opinion. This is what we're talking about doing. This is what we want to do. What do you think? And they actually listen to their citizens, and they actually respond to their wishes and their dreams. For example, facial recognition was a huge deal in this last 5 years because of all the artificial intelligence. China passed all kinds of laws. The National People's Congress passed all kinds of laws to control big tech in China to not do that, to not store facial images. And then personal information, banking information, again, big worries among the population. The party responded, their representatives responded, very strict laws governing what tech companies, online commercial companies who sell, you know, whatever, noodles or perfume. They have very strict controls about what they can keep as far as personal information. So, as far as I'm concerned, they have a much, much more consultative, much, much more consensual, much, much more participatory democracy than the West has ever had in the last 3,000 years since ancient Greece, which has been nothing but aristocratic, autocratic, totalitarian, dictatorial regimes serving the 1% and hiding behind a fig leaf of supposed, pluralistic democracy. It has never been that, and I don't see it changing anytime soon. So when you see why, now you can see why China is racing so far ahead of the rest of at least of the big economies, United States and Europe, because the party, the people, and the military, they're all working cohesively, and all the interest groups, the women's, the doctors, and all these different, the commerce, industry, are all working in unison to create a better and more livable and a prosperous society for all. That's what you really need to know about the 20th Congress of China. And now you know about the consultative conference and how they all work together. And when you see what they're going to do in the next 5 years, you'll go, oh, well, I know why. Because they don't let trillionaire dictators assume control of governance. They don't let their leaders become puppets of the trillionaire dictatorship, the banksters, the military, and the CIA, MI6, whatever you want to use, whichever spy agency in your country. They don't let those people get in and take control. They are, nor big tech, no, not Zuckerberg, not Bezos, not that bearded weird guy on, with Twitter. Instagram, all that, they are kept in their place to protect the people from being taken over by the psychopaths. This is Jeff J. Brown signing out. China Rising Radio, Sign of Land. If you'd like to leave a donation to support all my hard work, please do so. The information will be below. And it's on every one of my China Rising Radio Sign of Land pages. Thank you.